Well, we're in our last week of our series, The Avenger. And we've been looking at God's marvel. I believe the original Avenger, it's a guy by the name of Samson. And we've talked about Samson was this guy that had this unbelievable God-given potential in his life. He was called by God from birth to deliver Israel from Philistine domination. And it was pretty cool because his birth was announced by an angel. And I think, man, that's impressive. And this guy, he's empowered by God with this supernatural strength. And even though Samson had this divine calling on his life and he had this incredible power, we have found that Samson really had a very weak will. And I'll be honest with you, every time I read his story, I find myself just a bit frustrated with him. This guy messes up over and over and over again. He continues to break his vow to God, his Nazirite vow that he took. We find Samson regularly. He's chasing after women that he's not to be in a relationship with. He's touching things he shouldn't touch. He's drinking things he's not supposed to drink. He even gets a really bad haircut at one point, and it was hair that was never to be cut. And so we looked at how Samson went down to Timnah, and he's hanging out in the wrong places, hanging out with the wrong people, and it basically starts him on the path that takes him down. And we said, down is what? It's down. It's always down, isn't it? You know, Samson, he's emotionally led in his life. That gets him in trouble instead of being spirit-led. And I found that's a problem that many of us struggle with in our lives. Last week, he went down to Gaza. Scripture says one day he went to Gaza. He's carrying on with a Philistine woman again. This time, it's a prostitute. And we find that he ends up ruining his life, and he didn't do it overnight. I mean, Samson did it one step at a time, and that's how it usually happens in our lives as well. And when we left off last week, Samson, he was supposed to deliver Israel from the Philistines, but we find Samson doing hard labor. He's in a Philistine prison, and he had his eyes gouged out. We know from history the Philistines would have burned his eyes out and then carved them out. So there's a picture for you, huh? Samson's in shackles. He is chained to this huge wooden grinder. Basically, he is grinding grain. He's doing what an ox would have done in that day. He's going in circles, day after day after day after day. Samson has become kind of a carnival attraction. People gather to look at him, to laugh at him, to mock him. I'm going to guess they threw stuff at him. I'm going to guess it was pretty degrading. Samson's at this very, very, very low point. In fact, I don't know that you can get much lower. When I read this story, when I get to this point, it raises a very serious question for me. And that is, what do you do when you realize that you've blown it? What do you do when you realize that you have wasted your God-given talent, your God-given potential? You've wasted years and years of what God's given you. What do you do when you realize you've just tossed it? Have you ever done something that you can't undo? Ever embarrassed yourself because of something you did? Have you ever hurt people? People that you love? Have you ever ignored God and failed to do what you were created to do? I mean, what do you do in that moment? You know, Samson's at this really low point. They're making fun of him. I think this would have been awful. And I'm thinking, especially for a guy. I mean, men, we find our value in what we do, especially. I mean, we all do, but men especially do. We find it in our accomplishments, successes. You know, guys want to know, do you respect me? And so this is especially important to men. And so, you know, I've noticed when I meet a guy for the first time, or two guys meet, after they get past, hey, what's your name? Almost always the next question is, what do you do for a living? Because value. We evaluate and place our value in success. And so, understand, I'm not saying this is right, but it's the way men are geared up. And generally, the greatest fear we have is fear of failure. And the greatest pain that you have is regret. It's regret. People in general do not want to fail in life. We want to measure up. We want to be seen as successful, that we meet expectations. And when we don't meet, whether it be our expectations or someone else's expectations, it's painful. Should have. I could have, except why didn't I? And when you find yourself saying that, it's just, there's a lot of pain. Some of you are going to go through that someday. You may be there today. Maybe you've been there for a while. You know, it's that moment when you are forced to look in your spouse's eyes. And you try and explain something that you just can't explain. You know, why you betrayed your vows or why you chased after someone else. You know, and so what happens is you face this boatload of regret for betraying a faithful spouse. And it's like a ton of bricks. You know, maybe you're frustrated because you're in a career. And the truth is you hate what you're doing these days. And then you look back and you realize, hey, I abandoned my dreams a long time ago because I wanted to start earning money quick. And now you realize you took the easy road and now it's paycheck to paycheck. Your friends are climbing and, well, you feel like a failure. I mean, maybe you're a little bit older now. And in your mind, you regret not marrying that person. You know, I should have treated them better. I was selfish at the time. Man, I blew it. You know, maybe it's a lie. Maybe it's a dishonest deal. You know, maybe you had no idea the price you were going to pay for one moment, one time. But the reality is that the cost was huge and you're still paying for it. You know, maybe your marriage today, truth be known, it's pretty pathetic. And you know it's not good. Your spouse knows it's not good. It hasn't been good for years. But instead of working on it, well, just a lot of regret. Maybe it's something visible. Maybe it's something that's not so visible. You know, maybe it's not an outward thing that anybody even knows. The fact is, maybe you made a promise to yourself. Maybe you made a promise to God. I will never, ever do that again. But you crash and burn. And you keep doing it again and again and again. And the reality is, today, you just feel like a failure. Well, friends, I think Samson's story teaches us something very, very important. In fact, I would argue it is a game changer. You know, it's a thought I believe we ought to embrace, we ought to internalize it, and we ought to learn to live by it. And it's this: just because you failed does not make you a failure. Did you hear that? Just because you failed does not make you a failure. Failure is an event. It is never a person. Samson, he failed over and over and over and over again. In fact, he failed so many times. There are points when I'm reading this story, I think, could God love him? much less use him. And when we left off last week, we left with the scripture, Judges 16:22. It says, but the hair on his head began to grow after it had been shaved. And do you remember last week I said, that verse to me is kind of like the duh, you know, get your head shaved. Sure, your hair is going to grow back. Why is that even in scripture? We know that. But I believe that the writer wanted us to know just as sure as hair will grow back on a shaved head, God's grace is more sure. You know, even though Samson has disobeyed, even though he was disobedient, and it came with a high cost, and even though he had squandered a lot of God-given potential, he's weak, he's blind, I think he was broken. I think this verse was pointing to the fact that Samson, that God's going to give him another chance. Another chance. And we're going to find out, not only does God love him, but God's going to use him and accomplish his purpose in a very mighty way. You know, that's good news for all of us here today. Because when you are down, you've got to remember it does not mean that you're out. You know, the fact is, you may be down, you may have failed, but you can rise again in your life. Scripture says, verse 23, it says, Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. Philistines are gathered in a temple. It would have been like a coliseum. All right, there would have been like layered seating. Think Busch Stadium or something like that. Archaeologists tell us that temple would have seated between 3,000 and 5,000 people. We know there were at least 3,000 in it because Scripture is going to give us a tilt with that. But they're worshiping Dagon. Dagon was the god of fertility, the god of harvest. Dagon's image was a man's head and the body of a fish, okay? So they're kind of worshiping this man-fish god thing. And they're going, thank you, thank you. You know, thank you for delivering Samson to us. It says, when the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. They're referring back to, remember he took torches, tied it to 300 foxes, turned them loose in the field, burned all their fields up, burned an entire village up. Scripture's pointing to the 1,000 Philistines that he killed with the jawbone of the donkey. They're praising Dagon for what they believe was the defeat of their mortal enemy, Samson. Everybody in the nation knew it. All right? It says, while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. Now, I do not know what he performed. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if it was just they were going to hook him up and watch him grind grain, because that's what he did, and people gathered for that. We don't really know what he was doing, though. But what we do know, Samson's humiliated. Samson is totally shamed in front of his enemies. Enemies that he was supposed to deliver Israel from. Samson's a failure. And I mean, it's huge. I believe when you find yourself in that spot, the natural response to a moment like that, I think it's remorse. It's remorse. And friends, I would argue that that is where most people live. They settle in to remorse. I feel really bad about what I did. I know I shouldn't have done it. And what happens is sometimes we turn it inward then. You know, I'm the worst person on the planet. I have no future. I hate myself. I hate my life. And then sometimes we turn it outward. I have this crummy life because of them. I have this crummy life because of this or that. You know, this wouldn't have happened if they would have. You know, I didn't ask for this. It is all their fault. It's all Delilah's fault. She just kept nagging me and nagging me. She wanted to know the secret of my strength. It's all because of her. She betrayed me. And now look at me. Natural response. We've all been there. It's remorse. But I want to argue that there's a better way to live. There's a better response, and it's something called repentance. It's where I own it, where I acknowledge, you know what? It's my fault, or at least part of it's my fault. I blew it. It's not just saying, hey, God, I you know what happened here? You entrusted all this to me, and I didn't really fall through. Sorry about that, God. No, repentance is more than that. See, repentance requires us turning away from whatever it is that we did that was wrong and turning back toward God and doing what's right, doing what's God-honoring. You know, last week we talked about that most people don't ruin their life all at once. Most of the time, we do it one step at a time, one after another after another. And we said, if you're going the wrong direction in your life today, what do you do? I mean, it's real simple. You turn around. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to do, okay, hear me, but it's simple to understand that what we need to do is turn around. If we're going the wrong direction, turn around and go the right direction. That's what repentance is. See, remorse focuses on our past. Remorse tends to look back at the thing that we did that was wrong, and we make that our focus. Repentance turns from this lower life to that which is higher. In fact, repentance, if you break the word up, it's re, which means turn, and pent, which means higher. You know, from the lower ways, the worldly ways, the sinful ways, the wrong ways, and turning to something much higher, and that's God's way. Repentance, I believe, is about rising. It's about, it allows us to stand up and to rise in our life. You know, it's not, oh, I feel really bad about this. But it's the next step. I'm sorry, God. I'm going to turn from this. I am going to trust you completely to redeem me and redeem this situation. Everybody here is going to do something that you cannot undo. How many of you have ever got in what I call a text mess? Anybody? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's where you send a text, you write something, you send it, and then you realize you sent it to the wrong person. And the worst is, you sent it, and it was a group text. You know. Now, most of the time, in fact, how many of you have done that? Let me see. Come on. All right. Most of the time, no harm, no foul. It's not a big deal. You know, you said, hey, pick up milk, and they send back and go, who is this? You know, go, sorry. But sometimes you send a message, and it's something, it's a private conversation, or you send something to your spouse, and you say something that really just is embarrassing. And the moment that you hit send, and you realize what's happened, have you ever noticed everything goes slow-mo at that point? It's like, no! And you can't unsend it. There are some things in life you cannot unsend, you cannot undo, but friends, you can repent. I mean, some of you are going to come to the realization that you can't unsleep with the person that you're sleeping with. But, and I'm not suggesting that we go, oh, I'm sorry because we got caught, but we repent in that moment. I mean, some of you are going to hit that point, and it requires repentance. Some of you, that bad deal that you did, you can't undo it, but you can repent. You can try and make things right. You can't unlook at what you looked at, but you can repent. You can't undo a lot of things in life. But friends, you can repent. You can repent. I believe Samson, he has come to that turning point in his life. It's a tipping point. I believe Samson's remembering who he was created to be, who God created him to be. And I know Samson, as he's pushing that grinder around and around and around in his life, I believe he is very painfully aware that he was not created to entertain his enemies. He was created, he was set apart by God to do something really significant. You know, my prayer through this series has been that some of you would remember who God created you to be. That some of you would realize your God-given potential. That you would start honoring God. That you would get off the wrong path and get on the right path. That you would not let your spiritual enemy lure you into just remorse. I wish I could have. If I would have, if I should have, I didn't, I hate myself. You know, it's not my fault, not my fault. If my parents wouldn't have, if my spouse just would have, if this or that had or hadn't happened, then it would be okay. Instead of remorse, friends, instead of looking back, instead of bemoaning and blaming and making excuses, instead, repentance. It says, you know what? I'm not going to let what I did stop me from doing what God wants me to do. In other words, I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to turn toward God. I can't change my past. You can't change your past. Friends, you can change your future. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. Because, friends, when you are down, you're not out. When you're down, you know what? You can rise. You are not what you did, but you are who God says you are. Samson realizes that. Scripture says, when they stood him along the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them." I love this story ever since I was a little kid. I mean, it is a holy moment here. It is a moment where Samson's remembering. He's remembering who God created him to be. He's surrendering himself to God. It says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me, please. God, strengthen me just once more. Just once more. God, give me strength just one more time. I've blown it 1,000 times, God. 1,000 times. I do not need 1,000 more chances. I have messed up. In fact, so many times I can't even keep track of it. I quit counting. But Lord, if you will, if you would see fit to just give me strength this one more time, I'll get it right. God, all I need is one more chance." He stepped across the spiritual line. He's at the lowest point in his life, being paraded around like this carnival attraction, being publicly humiliated. In fact, I believe for Samson, that he had messed up so many times, that nobody believed there was anything good about Samson. And Samson has this private moment. It's a private moment, him and God. And he says, you know what, God? If you give me one chance, just one more, please. My entire life will be yours. I will do everything I can with whatever I have left to bring glory to your name. When you're down, you're not out. You can rise. You can rise. Even in our failures, God can accomplish his purpose. Remember God's purpose for Samson? It was to deliver or start delivering the Israelites from the Philistines. That was his purpose. Scripture says, then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, braced himself against it, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. It says, then he pushed with all of his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more than when he was alive. Killed over 3,000 people that day, Scripture says later. Friends, even in your failures, God can use you. Even if you messed up, and maybe you messed up big. Maybe it's huge. Maybe it was really public. Maybe it wasn't. But I want to tell you, it's not over. You are not what you did. You are who God says you are. And I want to challenge you today to quit living in remorse. Quit living in the past. I shoulda, I coulda, I might have, if only. They'll never trust me again. I'm a financial mess. My career, free fall, man. Marriage, blown apart. Quit living in the past. Some of you need to just hear, quit whining. Quit acting like you're stuck. Because you're not. If you are a Christian today, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same spirit is in you. You may be down, but you're not out. You may be down, but with God's strength, with God's power, you can rise. You may be down, but if you give everything to God, if you totally surrender yourself, God will use you. He will. And I know as I say that, some of you are going, Damon, you don't know what I did. Well, friends, whatever you did, I don't care if it's off the chart. It just makes the power and forgiveness of God that much more amazing. But I've lied about everything. It's cost me a lot through the years. Nobody even trusts me anymore. You know, I've been addicted for so long. I have destroyed almost every relationship in my life. I've hurt the people that I love the most. I'm a wreck. I've been locked in a prison of pornography. I mean, my heart's cold, man. I've destroyed my family. For what? You know, I've compromised so many times. You know, I'm not sure what's right and wrong anymore. I'm not sure what's God honoring anymore. Friends, think about the glory that God gets when God's grace and power lifts you up out of that. You know, the world's able to see that God and his strength and mercy and power is able to take you out of the darkness and bring you into the light. I mean, that's the amazing stuff. That's the inspiring stuff. When God turns everything around, when God takes you from down for the count and gets involved and you rise up. God is not finished with you yet. It is time, friends, to rise in your life. Some of you need to rise up. It is time to rise. You know, it is time to push some pillars down in your life. It's time to get really specific. I mean, I would ask you today, what pillars do you need to push down in your life? You know, for some of you, it's a pillar of pride. You just need to say, you know what? I'm in a situation. I need help. I am alone. I am a mess. I am afraid. I am in so deep, I don't even know how to get out. And you need to push that pillar down, and you need to seek help, and you need to get advice and to pull a brother or sister alongside you. For some of you, it's a pillar of addiction, and you got to push it down. You got to get help. You got to begin to face and admit that you got a problem. You need to get in a treatment program or a support group. You know, for some, it's a pillar of anger, and you got to push it down. You got to quit being mad at everyone and everything and just own the reality. You're just mad at yourself. Talk to a close friend. Let some friends pray for you. You know, go to counseling. Whatever it is. I mean, you fill in the blank, okay? Where do you need to rise in your life? You know, what pillar do you need to push down today? Here's the deal. I know right now some of you are going, I want things to be different in my life. And you're going to leave here, and you're going to do nothing different. And I want to say, well, good luck with that. How's it been working for you so far? You know, if you want results in your life, you have to do things differently. You know, some of you need to call that counselor. You need to check into rehab. You need to come clean with your spouse. You need to go and handle, get a handle on your spending. You need to see a financial counselor. Some of you need to go back to school, sharpen your skills. The market's changed, and you need to do that. Some of you need to stop being hit and miss when it comes to God, hit and miss when it comes to church. You need to make God a priority, a number one priority in your schedule. Some of you need to do it in your finances. Some of you need to do it in other areas. You need to do it everywhere, ultimately. Some of you need to quit pretending your marriage is fine. You know it's not. You know it's blown apart. Start working on your marriage. Go to counseling, whatever you need to do. You know, some of you need to quit lying to your kids and yourself. I'll slow down someday. I'll slow down. But right now, the most important thing that I'm doing is making more money. Wake up, friend. Wake up. Shift gears. Don't waste another day. Some of you just need to do some things differently in your life. You were created by God. You were created on purpose. You were created for a purpose. You have so much God-given potential. But you got to turn from your sin, whatever it is. And you got to turn toward God and just rise. Just rise up. I love this scripture. It's out of Proverbs. It says, for a person who is right with God falls seven times and what? Rises again. And it literally means again, 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 again. For as many times as it takes. Some of you, your life's a mess. Some of you, you made your life a mess. Some of you are completely out of sync with God. God's the last thing that you think about, the last place you turn to. Some of you, sin has you shackled. You are a prisoner to your past. It owns you. I'm going to ask the band to come up. Now, I'm going to ask them to share in song with you. And here's what I want to do. I want everybody to stay seated. I just want you to listen to the music. The song's called Rise Up. And I want you to ask yourself one question. What pillars do you need to push down today so you can rise up? What is it? I'm going to come back after the song, wrap things up, and we're going to have a time of prayer. But just let God minister to you in this song and see what God says to you. What pillars do you need to push down today? We all have them. We all have them. He just said, God, if you give me strength, just one more time, I will get it right. Friends, he got it right. He honored God that day. And he pushed the pillars down. And I was thinking about that happened almost 3,000 years ago. And we're still talking about it. See, Samson's not remembered for his messes. I mean, they're recorded, but that's not why he's remembered. He was remembered for that moment. That moment when he rose up, when he surrendered everything to God, and he honored God, and he pushed the pillars down. And here's what I want to say. You can get it right. You can get it right this time. You do not have to be a strong man. You do not have to be a strong woman. Satan loves to make strong people weak. You do not have to try to be a better you or a more improved you. But you can rise up. You can be the woman that God created you to be. You can be the man that God created you to be. Today's a new day. I know some of you, because I know the stories. You feel like you're down. You feel like you're down for the count. You know, sin has you shackled. And the truth is, you just need to turn from that sin, whatever it is. Some of you, your past, it's haunting you. In fact, if truth were known, your past has this iron grip on your heart, on your soul, and it won't let go. You know, some of you are facing stuff, and you're trying to go it alone. You need God's strength in your life today. In fact, without God, some of you will not make it. You will not make it through whatever it is you're going through. Some of you have pillars. You need to push them down, and it needs to start right now. You know, and here's what I want to ask you. If you have a pillar that you need to push down today, no matter what it is, no matter how big it seems, or how small or minute, it's time to rise up, and I'm going to ask you just to stand up where you're at. So I'm going to pray for us as a whole, but if you have a pillar that needs to come down today, stand up where you're at so that this church can pray for you. All right? Today's a new day. Let's bow in prayer together. God, you see those that stand before you today. And God, I don't know what pillar it is that they need to push down. But here's what I do know. That with your strength, with your grace, it's coming down. And they're rising up. God, I pray that you would continue to raise them up. That they would be God-honoring. That they would give it all to you, that they would surrender heart and mind and soul. And God, whatever it is, it may seem dark, it may seem impossible. They may be broken, they may feel hopeless. But God, I know with you, today's a new day. And pillars are coming down. People are rising up. Your people are rising up, God. God, I pray that you bring brothers and sisters alongside them, that you would let them know that you're about to do a great thing in their life. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. And God's people said, friends, this is the first step. And what I know, we're going to rise up right now and make some noise for God. All right? Praise God today. Let's stand up. Let's sing.